Good morning, everyone. Kind of reminded me of summertime when we were singing some of the songs, and you say, well, how do you think of summertime when it's Christmas and it's beautiful? And I'm not just thinking of the Downey family that are suffering over 85 degree weather in Florida, and you can feel sorry for them and pray for them. They're really suffering, we know that. I remember when I had a little church in Quill Lake, Saskatchewan, we'd ask for favorites, and it was July, it was 80, 85, and we just asked the little kids about the favorite, and they always chose a Christmas song, so we always had a time to sing a Christmas song. So we're moving from Christmas into the New Year's, and we're going to be talking about setting spiritual priorities. And we're looking at the new year and what God has for us. If you have your Bibles, you turn with me, please, to Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1 and through 8, and then also down to verse 23. David, the writer, inspired by God, begins by saying, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." And then down to verse 23. "Steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And let's pray. Almighty God, we just give you thanks and praise for the songs of the season, be able to sing the wonderful, wonderful redemption story of the Lord Jesus coming as a baby, but we know he didn't stay there. He died on the cross, he rose again, and one day he's coming back to receive us unto himself. Thank you, Lord God, as we look to the new year, that we can set these priorities, and we pray that we would desire to do that. Commit this time to you, and we thank you for your blessing, for your anointing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This message is about setting spiritual priorities. It's not about setting New Year's resolution. How many of you have ever set a New Year's resolution in your life? Well, there's about 30 of you, and the rest of you, well, I won't say anything more than that. But all right, and we've probably all tried. The only problem is they don't really work very well. According to statistics, 80% of New Year's resolutions fall by the second week of February. Second week of February, and only 8% of people actually keep and follow through their New Year's resolutions. So we're not talking about New Year's resolutions, we're talking about setting spiritual priorities for 2019. How do we set these spiritual priorities? James, in his epistle, very familiar with that, I'm sure, he did not write about becoming a Christian or a Christ follower as Jesus and Paul did, but more, he taught about how to act like one. And that's what this message is about, how to act like one. James made strong statements like, be humble, submit to God, stop sinning, resist the devil. Psalm 37 then shares of how to set these spiritual principles. Begins by saying, do not fret. Don't worry about those around you, and we'll talk a little more about that. Secondly, says, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. rest in the Lord, cease from anger. And of course, we know from that, then God will lead us. You know enough about my background as a teacher. I usually tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I've already told you. So then you can get ready for that. All right, and David talks about priorities. He says, do not fret because of evildoers. Perhaps he was thinking about those around him that had a better lot in life. And I think what God is saying through this psalm, he's saying to us, don't look over the fence at somebody else. Don't look at somebody that has a better position than we do. Look to Almighty God. Do not fret. David perhaps was thinking of maybe King Saul. Here he lived in a palace. King Saul had everything going for him, but David also knew that there was a time in Saul's life that he would fall, he would crumble. All we have to do is look at some of the mighty people that have been around over the years and start reading about their stories. And some of them, they have fallen and destroyed by their lifestyle and other things, and they don't have anything left to show. Not only that, but we know from Scripture that God is going to judge them, and not only them, but us, as we face him. Fretfulness and envy are sins that have their own punishment, says Matthew Henry. They are the uneasiness of the spirit and the rottenness of the bones. I'll repeat that. They are the uneasiness of the spirit and the rottenness of the bones. We spend a long time fretting, being upset, wondering what's going on around us. That's going to create uneasiness of the spirit and rottenness of the bone, according to Matthew Henry. Therefore, in kindness to ourselves, that we are warned against them. If you're laid in bed at night, thinking about what's gone on during the day, thinking of the individuals that you've come across, and you said things like, God, how come they are always looked after? How come they are the ones that always get into first place? How come there's somebody in our class that always gets better marks than I get? Why does that individual seem to get all the money at the right time and the best jobs? Well, that's what David is talking about. He says, don't fret about those people. Face Almighty God. And then, of course, you see my stop sign. I use that lots. I use that in counseling over the years. And so we need to stop fretting. We need to say, God, I need to stop fretting. All it does is keep me awake at night. All it does is make me miserable during the day. Things start to upset me, and I do not have a good day. And so David is saying in Psalm 37, don't fret. Don't fret. Do not envy wicked people with their prosperity. Sometimes we think of those who've had a lot of money, as Saul did, a lot of might, a lot of power, but we know what happened with King Saul. He took his own life. He had everything and then lost everything. And then David, because he was faithful to the Lord, he ended up, of course, in a much better state than Saul ever did. Don't envy them. David also wrote about being blessed. Blessed is the one or the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The next verse, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. And I'm sure as David was writing that, he was thinking of the way that they beat out the grain. They'd put a pile of grain on a sheet and pound it out. Sometimes they'd run animals over top of it, wagons, whatever it is. And then they lift up the sheet and they'd flop it in the wind, and the chaff would blow away. And David is saying in that psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, that's what the wicked are like. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. The good seed stays solid. So fret not. That's an issue that you have sometimes. When we think of fret, we think of being filled with self-pity. Why does that person always do better than me? And then he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God is unchanging. He can be trusted. A number of us know Del Fulford, and he's already found that out. He said it over the years while he was in our church. God is unchanging. He can be trusted, even in his days where he was struggling with his health. And God took him home to glory for his reward. But that's what he would often say. And if you've been involved in him and carpentry or whatever it is in this church, doing other things, it was some of his statements. God is unchanging. He can always be trusted. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ never changes. He's with you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even down to the end of the world. Solomon, David's son, learned well from his father. David says, trust in the Lord. And a number of years later, as Solomon was penning the words for the book of Proverbs, he wrote, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So trust in the Lord. The second point that David makes is we're looking at priorities for 2019. We need to trust him to do the things that only he can do. From time to time, individuals struggle with their health, struggle with their finances. They come back to the idea that God is unchanging. He's trustworthy. He'll look after those things. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. Perhaps you're going through some challenging times with your health or home or business. Come back to the words of David. It says, trust in the Lord. And Solomon, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. It has to start with trusting. We can't do it on our own. And then David says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This verse has been misused so much over the years. If I just trust God, and God, I'm trusting you, you'll give me whatever I want. And sometimes from the pulpits, not only our land, but around the world, that word, that verse, has been misused. That's not what it means at all, that if I just trust in God, God, you're in my heart, everything's going to be fine, and give me everything that I ask for. That's not the teaching of that particular passage of Scripture at all. We have to ask ourselves, do we have a special relationship with Almighty God? Can we say on a daily basis, Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I love to spend time with you. I love to spend time with you. We're talking about priorities for 2019, and we're talking about spiritual priorities. We need to ask ourselves the question today, Lord, do I love spending time with you? Is there a time each day that I look forward to being in your word and being in your presence? That's what it means when we talk about delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The sad thing is a lot of individuals get upset with God because he didn't pull it off. And I've had people in my counseling office, they're very, very angry at God because he didn't meet their need. In other words, he didn't do what they thought he should do in their lives. That's not what that verse says. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's go on a little, explain it just a little bit more. This is the foundation of setting spiritual priorities for 2019. We need to ask ourselves the question when we think of this. Are we a happy Christian or a miserable one? One of the worst things for us as believers is to be miserable, to be sitting on the fence. Some of the most unhappy individuals in the world are those that know Christ personally but are not living for him. They're just doing their own thing. The psalmist David says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Let's explain that just a little bit more. That means we must give God our heart's delight. We need to give God our heart's delight, and then we shall have our heart's desire. When we're in right relationship with God and we're excited about being in his presence, he will give us his heart's desire, our heart's desire. Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And even in Luke 22, as he's down on the knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And here was Jesus asking the Father for permission, but he knew already that he had to go to the cross, and that was the scene. As we think of the Lord Jesus, he got up off his knees, said to the disciples that were there, my betrayer has come. A few minutes later, Judas kissed Jesus. The Jewish leaders led him away. In the next number of hours, he was beaten and hanged on a tree for you and for me. So we must delight ourselves in his majesty and his power, his grace and his love. We must return to him over and over again. You've probably heard me say it many times, keep short accounts with God. Don't wait until the end of the week. It's not like doing your laundry once a week. It's not like cleaning your house once a week. It's a matter of when something comes into our life that's destructive and we know it's sinful, we need to ask God to forgive us. That's what David is talking about here. We make God our heart's delight, and he shall have our heart's desire. We will have our heart's desire. And so it's our relationship with him that is so very, very important as we look at 2019. So God has not promised to gratify the appetite of our lives, but to grant all the desires of the heart, all the cravings of the renewed, sanctified soul. Basically, that means when we're in right relationship with God, we are the happiest that we can ever be. Perhaps you, like me, have read stories of those who've gone through horrible, horrible persecution in third world countries. Many, many millions dying for their faith. And yet, because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, they can say that God has given us the desire of our heart. And the reason being is as they spent time with him, in some cases in solitary confinement, day after, week after, month after, year, they're in such a close relationship with Jesus, they can say, yes, I have the desire of my heart. And of course, we know that when they move from this life into the next one, the Lord Jesus will meet them and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So God not promised to gratify all the appetite of our lives. It's sad when you hear individuals from pulpits around the world saying, you just pray to God and he's going to look after everything. It's sad when I would hear some preachers, pastors say things like, all you have to do is praise more. You just keep praising and praising and praising and praising, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's a misuse of this scripture passage. Here, that's not what it says at all. So what is the desire of the heart of a godly person? What is my heart like? It is this: to know and to love and to live for God, to please Him and to be pleased in Him. That's what it means. Let me repeat that. It is this: to know and love and live for God, to please Him and to be pleased in Him. That's what it means to have God's desire in our heart. Fourthly, we need to commit our way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So commit your way to the Lord. Let me encourage you to do that on a daily basis. As you start each day, say, God, this is your day, and I want to please you, and I commit myself to you. I commit my way to you. That's what spiritual priorities are all about as we come into this new year. Can we say, Lord, I choose to commit my way to you every day? And I'll let you answer that in the quietness of your own heart. And I'd like you to think about that. Lord, I choose to commit my way to you every day. Romans 12, Paul says, challenging us, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. That's what it means to have a priority that's centered on the Lord Jesus. Later on, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means to have right priorities. That's what it means to commit our life to the Lord Jesus on a daily basis. The songwriter says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Perhaps heard me say that many, many, many years ago. I went forward at a youth retreat. The last song, the last chorus of that verse, and that song, to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm only happy, or I am the happiest, when I do that on a daily basis. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Perhaps you're at the stage where you don't do that on a regular basis anymore. Perhaps you've fallen off the spiritual wagon, as it were, and you need to get back on track. And this is a good way to do it as we begin the year 2019. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So a challenge again to us: do we commit our lives to God on a daily basis? And then we need to rest in the Lord. And sometimes the preacher has to preach at himself. Talks about resting in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalmist knew that, learned that as a shepherd boy. Later on, he gave us the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's rest. Resting in the great shepherd, the one who said, I know my sheep. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than I am, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sometimes if you're struggling with mean thoughts, you're upset, you're fearful, go to Psalm 23 and just allow the Spirit of the living God to minister to you during that time. Many, many other passages in the book of Psalms that can do that as well. Being a counselor and a teacher, I give homework. And so some of the things that I would do as a counselor is I would give these types of things to my clients as homework. And sometimes I would ask them to read Psalm 23 four or five times every day until I saw them again. It's amazing how the power of Scripture changes people's lives. And that's why I think it's very, very important that we're in God's Word every day. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you believe that, friends? God's Word says he cares for you. That's God's Word. He really cares for you. And you might say, well, Bruce, if you knew the situation that I'm going through or we're going through, you wouldn't say that. Yes, I would. He cares for you. He's there for you. And perhaps I'll just pause and make it very clear that he's there for the one that has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So we can talk about Jesus, but we need to have him in our heart, and then we know he cares for us. Perhaps as we face the new year, you can look back over your life and realize that you've never, ever done what I've been talking about. Perhaps some of this is new to you. Perhaps it's strange to you because there was never a time in your life where you said, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to have you to come into my life and forgive all my sins and make me into the person you want me to be. And then we can trust in that we can cast all our care upon him because he's within our life and he loves us with an everlasting love. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. And so as we look at resting in the Lord, we recognize very, very clearly that the enemy does not like you. And Peter says that we need to resist him steadfast in the faith. Sometimes we may have a powerful, powerful spiritual experience and we think everything is done, everything is good, and yet the next day we're groveling in the dirt because we're struggling with our life and our relationship with God and Jesus. Peter says that we need to resist him. As many times as he comes to attack us, we need to resist him. Be steadfast in the faith. And then cease from anger. The sixth part is to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Usually as I'm working with individuals, especially as I'm working with couples that are struggling in their home, I know one of the couples, it could be the wife, could be the husband. One has an anger problem, the other one has a fear problem. And once they get those things dealt with, then God can bless them and minister to them. And perhaps you're here and you think of your own marriage and your own family and you say, well, that's really true. My wife is the angry one, or my wife is the fearful one. I'm the angry one. I'm the fearful one. And so that means we need to look at God's word and deal with those situations that are in our life. David says, fret not, don't be afraid. And here God's word says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Doesn't say you'll never get angry. We do. But it also says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In premarital counseling, I usually talk to the young man and the young woman and say, you know, it's a very, very good practice as children of God, as Christians, not to go to bed angry at each other. Ask God to forgive you, pray with each other so you can go to bed without being angry. That's not good for your stomach to go to bed angry. That's not good for your emotions, your mind. And so that's a challenge. Done that over the years as I've done premarital counseling and counseling as well. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And I'll just stop here a moment. Perhaps this is hitting you. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage. Let me encourage you, and dear ones, deal with things. Ask God to help you. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask your spouse to forgive you. And then go to bed with a smile on your face instead of a frown on your face and anger in your heart, because you can do that. Because God has given us the grace and strength to do that. I know that from personal experience. As a foster kid, I was a very, very angry kid. And I was fortunate I was able to take out my anger in sports. I was able to deal with those things, but inside I was an angry, angry person. And so when Jesus Christ came into my heart and into my life, He began to put, by the Holy Spirit, His finger on me and remind me that I needed to deal with anger. Remember, there were times my brother was more fearful and I was more angry. He dealt with situations that were abusive differently than I did. When I came to God in Christ, I recognized that I could not continue to carry on with the anger. I had to let it go. I had to forgive those people that hurt me. I had to allow the Spirit of God to heal me emotionally so I could be the person that God wanted me to be. I needed to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Instead of fretting about what happened in my life, I needed to forgive those people and move on. Perhaps you're listening to that and you recognize, hey, that's me. I need to deal with that. And as I approach 2019, I want my life to be different. I want it to be better. So be angry and sin not. And then Ephesians 4:21 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Get rid of it. Don't hang on to it, because it's just going to be very destructive. Another verse, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, Colossians 3:8. And then fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, and that's not just fathers, really in the original that mentions parents. So parents, don't be angry at your kids. Doesn't mean you don't discipline them. But don't put them down. Don't make fun of them. Don't belittle them. Build them up. Because as it said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Over the last 45 plus years of counseling, I've had many, many people in my office, even as adults, that were still struggling over the way they were treated by their Christian parents. Negative, put down, criticism, anger. And dear ones, if that's been you, I encourage you to go back to your kids, even if they're adults, and ask them for your forgiveness. Very, very important. So there we have the stop sign again. So what are we saying here? Stop being angry. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. Stop being upset. In this case, stop being angry. And it's a command. And God has given you the power to do that. During my devotions, I'm working through the book of John, and I'm loving it. Just came to John chapter 10 and John chapter 11, the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, and the raising of Lazarus in chapter 11 of John. What an interesting story that is. As the sisters are talking to Jesus about the loss of their brother Lazarus, who'd been already dead for 4 days. And Jesus had everything under control. It was amazing as you read that passage, the faith of Martha and Mary. Read it again and again. What an encouragement. And then, of course, Jesus wanted them to roll the stone away. And Martha, very, very upset, indignant, said, Lord, he's been in the grave for 4 days. But Jesus had a plan that they had no idea of what he was going to do. And he called forth Lazarus. And somebody heard one preacher say, that's good he used the name Lazarus, because if he would have just said, you come forth, all the graves would have been open and all the ones would have come back to earth. But he called Lazarus. And as I was thinking of that passage of scripture, I was thinking of, as we go into this new year, there was Lazarus. Somehow he got out of the grave, rocking the whatever it was made of. Maybe it was similar to Jesus' grave. It was a tomb. But he came out with grave clothes, kind of struggling to get out. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. As I was thinking of that, and as I was thinking of the message today, I was kind of thinking of a lot of individuals who are Christians. They walk around with a lot of grave clothes on, a lot of hurts and pains and disappointments, and they've never given them to the Lord Jesus. Thinking of that little chorus, give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask those grave clothes to be taken off by the Lord Jesus. Some of the things that I've been sharing to you about today, maybe they've become grave clothes, and you need to say, I need to rest, I need to trust, I need to deal with my anger. How do we set spiritual priorities? Paul in Galatians 5, 19 to 23, he gives us two areas. He talks about the flesh, and then he talks about the Holy Spirit. But the works of the flesh are these: adultery, hatred, strife, envy, murder. And you can see I just put a few down. They call that passage of scripture the seven deadly sins. And then he goes on to talk about the Spirit of God. But those are the things that hold us down. And it would be good every once in a while to go back to that passage of scripture and start checking things off and see whether that's where we're at. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. The controlling of the flesh, the grave clothes. And what we're learning from David is, deal with these things. Paul's conclusion, those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. This is good for us to do a checklist every once in a while. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and is joy and is peace and is patience and is gentleness and goodness. It's temperance. It's against such there is no law. Self-control, against such there is no law. And as we think of this, we need to ask ourselves, is that what our life is filled with? And then, of course, we talk about the rewards of dealing with those things. Fret not. Don't be fretting about things that are around. Trust in the Lord. Ask God to give you his desires in your life. Rest in him and cease from anger. And what are the rewards? God's promise, as we set spiritual priorities, verse 23, the steps of a good man, a good woman, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God delights in you. God delights in you. It would be nice if we could somehow move aside the clouds or whatever it is, look into heaven, and Jesus saying to the Father about you, Jesus, look at my child. Isn't he doing good? Isn't she doing good? That's what he thinks of you. And because we have the blood of Christ to shed over us, we can have that thought. And he delights in our way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Let me encourage you to go to Psalm 37 over the next week and start ticking these off and say, Lord, do I fit into this? And then ask God to help you as you look forward to 2019. And let's pray.